Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Gotta love that Laura Kelly theme song. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news while working from home, tooling around the garage, homeschooling the kids, whatever. Just tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. Little Laura Kelly theme song. We're not gonna take it. No. We ain't gonna take it. Oh, you gotta love it. Joining us now to bring us our weekly legislative update from Topeka is Speaker of the Kansas House. You know, I bet they could use a little, little hard rock once in a while. Ron Reichman Jr., Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us this evening. It's nice to have you back on the show, my friend.
Oh, John, thanks for having me on, and thank you for that music. You know, sometimes we joke that whenever people come speak to the well, you should have a walk-up song called when you're going from the on-deck circle. We got a few folks that would be a great walk-up song for them.
Yeah.
As they're trying to put in the checks and balances for what's going on right now in our state.
You know, I can only imagine that. Having made that walk down to the well a few times, I can only imagine, you know, that's going to be something new I'm going to have to think on. Okay, now you got my mind going here. Thank you. That will now keep my creative juices going for a while.
Right.
Ron, I got to start with this stuff at the Department of Labor. It seems like every week this Department of Labor story just keeps getting worse and worse. This week, the nonpartisan legislative post audit released their results. They found the state of Kansas paid out at least $600 million in fraudulent claims. Some are saying that number is low. Of course, the governor responded by criticizing the report and blaming the Brownback administration. Okay, let's start there. How is Sam Brownback and the Brownback quote-unquote tax experiment responsible for Laura Kelly's failure at the Department of Labor? Let's start there and see if you can untangle that mess.
Well, we can start with the folks in Kansas are tired of excuses.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
And the governor has been the governor for over 2 years, and every single request she's asked for Department of Labor, the legislature has granted. She was a legislator much more longer than you or I have been.
Yep.
But yet somehow it's never her fault. This is not unique to unemployment trust fund where folks can answer the phone. Time and time again, we keep hearing it's somebody else's fault. At some point, the buck has to stop at the governor's desk. She has to take responsibility and work for solutions and not always point to somebody else's problem.
Well, apparently not.
We look back and we've been going through this, and it looks like the Sebelius administration had over $40 million to dig into this problem. And with that $40 million, they issued a report to Sam Brownback's administration. and but without the funds to do anything. But Sam Brownback wasn't the one that shut down businesses and wouldn't reopen them and forced a lot of people who did nothing of their own. They didn't do anything wrong. That based on COVID, they're no longer employed and had to file a claim. Sam Brownback didn't ignore the multiple warnings from the federal government, from the legislature, from the business community, that our system was ripe for fraud. Those didn't happen under Sam Brownback's watch. They happened under Governor Kelly's watch. And again, we many times had warned her this was coming. She wanted to ignore it, and now we've lost at a minimum $600 million just last year alone, let alone what happened in January and was at its peak before they finally put in a simple fix to ask for some security measures and so that the money wouldn't be flowing out quicker than we can put it back in.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the unemployment trust fund. So I did some digging. I've got some basic information out of that report that came out of the legislative post audit. The Kansas Department of Labor paid out an estimated $2.6 billion in state and federal unemployment benefits in 2020. That may have been fraudulent, is what they're saying. This is about 24% of the total amount. With 66,000 employers in the state, Kansas lawmakers now say they can't obviously cover that. It's just that there's not enough money in the unemployment trust fund, which means Kansans would have to face, obviously, a tax increase. It could mean up to 500% increase in taxes on Kansas businesses to replenish the unemployment trust fund. So, I mean, that's a massive tax increase on businesses that are just recovering, coming out of COVID, dealing with everything else. So, Ron, I want to play you an audio recording that I found from the State Finance Council meeting from June 6th of last year, in which you and Governor Kelly were discussing, yeah, let's see, that's a Freudian slip there about Laura Kelly, when you guys are discussing how to best use the CARES funding from the federal government. They had sent Kansas this money. You asked her about it. Do you mind if I play this for you and then ask you about it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I could see a lot of local governments maybe using this for more prevention things that can be a 5- and 10-year, 20-year stockpile, which I think would be necessary. But contrast that to our needs of today for economic recovery, or even the need that we know is going to be in front of us with our unemployment fund, and or possibly even the need, mentioned unemployment, the need inside labor right now. Could these funds be used to help prop up our Department of Labor to help with some of the issues and struggles we're having inside that department to get the funds back out? I just, again, my caution is we're half the money is going to go out the door today for a lot of other needs, and this may be the only shot we have from the federal government.
If I could respond, Mr. Speaker, particularly about the unemployment fund. Kansas was in a very fortunate position when all of this started. You're right, we did have a balance of about $1 billion in our trust fund. And the last report that I saw, we're down at close to about $800 million still in the trust fund. I also believe from conversations that I've had with the White House when they call regularly with the governors, you know, that other states are not in such a good position and are requesting help. I think that will be there. So I don't think that we necessarily need to worry that much about the unemployment fund. That's probably the least of the concerns that we have in terms of our economics right now.
Wow. That didn't age very well. So she blamed the Brownback administration, yet the Brownback administration had $1.2 billion in the fund when she became governor. Last June, almost 9 months ago, you asked her about this. You essentially warned the governor about this. And she said, quote, "I don't think we need to worry that much about the unemployment fund. That's probably the least of the concerns we have."
Well, John, it wasn't just me warning her. It was the business community. There were memos from the federal government saying that Kansas is ripe for fraud. You need to put in some simple prevention measures. In fact, they even sent money and funds to put the preventions in, but they were ignored. And the result, at least $600 million of Kansas's money has gone out the door to organized crime and to overseas. And the governor's answer even during that meeting was, we'll wait until the next round of money comes in. We were handed over $1 billion of CARES money to spend on really anything CARES or COVID related. And unemployment insurance was specified as something that we could use. And so the irony is now she's asking for the federal government for a bailout to do what we could have done with the funds we already had. And that's to prop up the unemployment agency with the resources that were needed, the technology, the human resources, and even put money back into the fund. And so our businesses and our citizens do not have to backfill that trust fund.
I mean, were there any warning signs of this? I mean, obviously, you say the business community saw this coming. How come did they not? Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Let's say they weren't just willfully negligent. Did they not see this coming, or were otherwise, this is borderline criminal.
Well, John, we've documented over 40 times either the federal government, the legislature, or the business community warned the governor that there was fraud inside the system, that we need to do something to protect these funds. John, at one point, there's over 1 million unemployment claims in Kansas. We have maybe 1.3, 1.5 million folks that can work. The math does not add up to have over 67% of your state filing for unemployment. At one point, we had 80,000 claims in 1 week. The same week that I believe there's 11,000 claims in Missouri and 2,700 claims in Nebraska. We were number two in the nation in claims, not per capita. In total claims, we had more claims than New York. We had more claims than California. The only state that had more claims than us was Illinois. And finally, at the end of January, the governor shut down the system and put in the simple fix that the federal government provided funds for months ago to slow down all this money that was going to accounts and quickly gone overseas.
So Kansas Department of Labor is now on their fourth secretary since the beginning of the pandemic. Governor Kelly on Friday said they're going to, quote unquote, get to the real numbers. She's so trustworthy. Well, through their own audit. So we're going to trust them to do their own audit and get to the real numbers. Do we even know how much has been issued? And what do we tell Kansans who are still looking for their unemployment checks, who are struggling, who are out of work, no fault of their own, and can't get the freaking phone answered? I mean, this is so unacceptable.
Well, And that's the real tragedy in all this, or Kansans that actually need the help, Kansans who, through employers, have paid in the system for years. They didn't do anything besides be employed during COVID. So now they need the assistance, and no one's answering the phone. And it's hard to answer the phone when you have so much fraud. You have to get the fraud out. So instead of taking care of the problem and addressing the fraud, the governor spent $50 million on a call center. It was a no-bid contract, and it was not even a Kansas company. That money's gone. The folks who were answering the phone didn't have answers because they couldn't get into the system because the system was so filled with all these fraudulent claims. And so the result is, I know our office, the phone rings off the hook. We're trying to help people, trying to navigate the system. We're getting emails. Our congressional delegations hearing the same thing. The folks in Kansas need help. And we want to identify the problem and find our way to work with the governor's office to move forward. It's just that it's just taken so long. And instead of blaming Governor Brownback, who hasn't been governor for over 3 years, we prefer to have a press conference with the governor talking about this is how we stop the fraud, this is how we're moving forward, and we're going to answer the phone if you call, and not make people wait 2 and 3 weeks to get a return.
Amen. Let's hope she does it. Ron, do you mind sticking with us through the break? I want to talk about turnaround, and you've got a busy week coming up next week, but I wanted to get to this Department of Labor stuff, and I wanted to give plenty of time for it. Do you mind sticking through the break?
Sure.
Fantastic. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back with the Speaker of the House, Ron Reichman, right after this.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Of course, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Speaker of the Kansas House, Ron Reichman Jr. So, Ron, you guys, I know, have a very busy week coming up this week with turnaround. Last I had checked, you had something like 23 bills lined up for tomorrow alone. I know you got some alcohol bills lined up. You've got, like, education bills. We might even see the Kansas Emergency Management Act this week, too, correct?
Yeah, we have a lot going on this week, a lot of important issues that our committee's been working on for the last couple months. And it, as you know, as the process works, it kind of comes down to the last few weeks for the House to pass their bills, and then we'll send them over to the Senate. And then about a week and a half from now, we start working on the Senate bills. But right now, you're right, we have a lot of big important issues we'll be addressing this week. You're right, the Kansas Emergency Management Act hopefully will be debated later in the week. That will permanently put the checks and balances in the system between the executive branch and folks in Kansas can have a say in how some of these emergencies are managed. We have a property tax bill that will provide transparency in how our property taxes are levied and handled. We've got an occupational license bill that kind of works on some reciprocation to allow folks to be able to move into Kansas and still provide a source of living and a job and a service for the state. And, of course, we talked a lot last segment about unemployment. And we have a bill that just came out of our Commerce Committee that puts some fixes into the system. It does provide the resources for a new technology. But far more importantly, there's two other key provisions. One is if when the new federal money, if it does come in, that the first dollars go to backfill the unemployment trust fund. And so it's not the folks with Kansas's direct money through their businesses or through their payroll taxes that will go to refund. That'll be the federal money if it comes, which, you know, we didn't talk about this last time, but it is, you think about the amount of debt our national government has taken on.
Oh, yeah.
We bring in about a little over $3 trillion a year in taxes. We normally spend about $5 trillion. You can see that's a problem when you're spending $2 trillion more than you're bringing in. But if this new $1.9 trillion Biden plan passes, that'll be $6 trillion in COVID response in one calendar year. And so think about that. That's about $11 trillion of spending with $3 trillion of funds coming in. And so I'm not counting on that money, but if it does come in, the first monies will go to backfill the unemployment trust fund of the at least $600 million that have been wasted, slip through the fingers of our state onto foreign soil and organized crime. At least 450 of it can be backfilled with the next round of CARES money, COVID money from the federal government.
You'd have to, and forgive me if I have lost track of it. You guys have been really busy. I'm surprised at how much you've accomplished despite, you know, COVID and the odd seating charts and, you know, not being able to be on the floor as often as you normally do. Did you guys get the Trump tax bill, you know, we used to call it. I don't know what you're calling it now, but you've repackaged that tax bill. Did that get through the floor yet?
It hasn't yet. It's still working its way in the House committee. The Senate started with it. And
okay,
added,
that's what I thought.
Quite a bit more to it, but we're still working through that in our House committee. That's still, we have two major tax policies we want to get through this year. One is a decoupling bill that you're referencing. So Kansas can take advantage of the federal tax cuts, just like our surrounding neighbors. and also a property tax transparency bill. Those are still a priority, and we hope to get the property tax transparency bill passed this coming week.
I've got Amy from the Kansas Advanced Practice Nurses Association coming up next hour. One of the things that has come up, and you know, this bill dates back even when I served in the House. You know, Kansas counties, I know, are experiencing primary health care shortage. Do you think you guys are going to be able to take up the APRN bill this week? I know it's maybe one of those casualties of turnaround.
Well, there's a possibility. We had discussions this weekend about how to make that happen and make it so it's viable and one that still finds a balance between making sure we have the providers needed, but also when you're dealing with healthcare, you want to make sure that there is some oversight and not just anyone can operate on you.
Right. So, oh, yeah, obviously.
I oversimplified that, but no, that's something that's important to us, and if we don't get it worked out, it will be soon. We're just trying to get the parties to agree.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, these are, and obviously there's two sides on every bill, sometimes three, but I'm glad to hear that there's movement on it and that we may not die. What are we looking at next week? You get turnaround this week, then what does next week look like? What are people, you know, folks are interested in finding out what the legislature's doing? What key bills are we as, or give us a preview as we go forward?
Well, we don't have a lot of time. We kind of have a shortened session to work through some of the Senate bills. I know one of the things that the Senate's working through is a bill that basically says that, hey, after spring break, you have to have an in school option for students. You can't no longer force kids up in school. I see that going through very quickly. We have a lot of discussion we've had on school finance and also with our tax credit programs. And there was a bill that even talked about if you're going to go virtual, then you'll get reimbursed for a virtual rate, which is much less than what the typical base aid number is for students. So I think it'll be a lot of school finance discussion. There's some CAPERS reform discussion that will happen in our employment system that's kind of balanced out this budget. There's a lot of work that, as you know, kind of takes place in the last month on how to balance the budget out with the spending with their tax policy.
Well, and then, of course, obviously, now is probably when you guys are going to start tackling one of the major issues, which is budget. How's redistricting looking? That's also another big issue that's going to be you're going to have to handle at some point, too.
Yeah, our chairman is Chris Crops. He's doing a great job of kind of setting the groundwork and talking to our members about what's important to them. The consensus numbers have been delayed a bit due to COVID. They'll come out a little later than normal, but at least be in time for the summer that we can have more input from the community. And then next year, we'll really get geared up. I tell you, we're off to a great start. Every one of our congressional our congressmen have done a fantastic job of being collaborative and not only thinking about themselves and their own districts, but the entire state. So that's been refreshing. So we think our congressional maps hopefully will be able to be taken care of with a lot of support from all three of our current congressmen. And then the House is committed to forming their maps, and the Senate's committed to forming theirs. And so we're hoping not to repeat what happened in 10 years ago where the courts had to do it. And
yep.
I know we have the right chair to make that happen, and he's got a great vice chair, and Brad Ralph, an attorney out of Dodge City.
Oh, yeah, I know Brad.
That's very practical, and we'll make sure that we follow the letter of the law and do it the right way.
Well, Ron, I appreciate you coming on, giving us the update, especially some of the data that you were able to share with us on the Department of Labor. Completely separate, setting all that aside, you know I have to ask this question. People are already starting to, you know, speculate who's going to run for governor. Is Jeff Collier? Is Derek Schmidt? The third name that always keeps coming up, people ask me, because you and I are friends and you and I serve together, is Ron Reichman going to run for governor? Well, I got you on the phone. I might as well ask, is Ron Reichman going to run for governor?
Well, I do appreciate you asking. I'm honored and flattered that people keep bringing my name up. You're probably going to think it's a political answer, and I hope you know we will know that it's not. Right now, I've been given the opportunity of a lifetime to help lead the state in the middle of this COVID pandemic, and to do so with a Democrat governor that thinks that the government is the answer to every question. And we know that people can help us through this, and we want the people's voice in those solutions. And so I'm focused on the job I have, and we will consider other options or see where the Lord leads us.
Why did I know you wouldn't answer that? Brother, I love you. Sounds like you got a very interesting week. I know you'll keep us in the loop. If folks want to find more information on you, they can follow you on Twitter, at Ron Reichman, correct?
Yep, that's it.
Love you, my friend. Carry on the fight, brother.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour, Todd Starnes will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.